Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Tom Paul on the Permaculture Central Blog Talk Radio Network, and we have our friend Joey D'Elia here, who's our permaculture expert from Tipuana Farm in San Marcos, California. Welcome, Joey.
Hello. Thank you for having me here, Paul.
Joey is an incredible leader within our community. He has a lot of many different projects going on, and we are glad to see his efforts grow, and we're starting to work with other groups, and it's very exciting. And I think that 2013 has been very productive, and I'm really looking forward to see what happens going forward. So today's topic is permaculture. Why start now? And it's a very good question. I mean, we could wait.
You could. We could wait and see why and when and how to start. But let's just not wait. Let's just dive right into it.
Well, there's an old saying, there's no time like the present.
There you go. I like that idea.
Yeah. So why start now? And we said, well, why not? All right, so that's the end of the show. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, it's kind of like the last show, very cut short.
Well, the last show actually is not posted. I removed it because
remember,
we had the technical difficulty.
Okay,
so
right.
So we could talk about whatever you want about permaculture. Why start now? Go for it.
Okay, well, let's look at that. So I think you kind of look at it, too, is, you know, sometimes you're thinking, oh, I don't feel healthy. So you think, oh, well, how do I do that? Well, then why, you know, well, get healthy now. So you start to change your diet, maybe exercise, try to look at all the different foods you eat and learn about food and learn about how it affects your body and what's the right food for you to eat, what's not the right food for you to eat. And so that's the beginning of that adventure.
Well, can I say before you, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head right there, because like growing up in my family, on both sides of the family, we have diabetes. And, you know, we always think, well, someday it might happen. And rather than take preventative measures, we're always like, well, maybe when I get it, then I'll take care of myself, which is ridiculous because then it's too late.
That's right.
Absolutely too late.
It's perfect. And that's kind of the theme here. And it applies in all sorts of different aspects of our life. Well, why eat healthy? Well, or why be healthy? Then what do you do to be healthy? And then, so that's one facet. And then there's so many more of that go into, like, let's say, for instance, why, okay, we're going to save money. Well, when? Well, let's start now. So you start, you know, trying to have a little budget and do different things to save money and look at how you spend and what should you spend things on and what not, you know, how many times a week you go to the movies, things like that. But so permaculture, well, before you even probably even hear about permaculture, the why permaculture, I think for a lot of us, but for me myself, and I, from the people I've met, it's not like those people that find permaculture lots of times, because it's not like, you know, on the billboards, it's not, they're not making movies about it with Brad Pitt and stuff yet, but you have the part where you don't, it's not out in the limelight, and the word permaculture, what's going on with it. So you start this, usually your path starts by being concerned about what's going on in our environment, or, you know, what are these companies, different companies selling us? Are GMO foods good or are they not good? Or do they help or not help? Or what about, I hear, and there's a lot about organic farming now. So, you know, should it be, what's organic farming anyways? What are there chemicals? Oh, and then now people are finding out there's all sorts of chemicals sprayed on their food. There's this movement kind of where the general public is becoming concerned because they're starting to learn more about where their food is coming from. And I think that's the big impetus for what's going on now is people are starting to regain like a relationship or an association in the beginning, I would say, with their food and where their food comes from, instead of just buying it and consuming it, just without even thinking just about where it comes from or what's going on or who's producing it, why are they producing, what chemicals or how, or some people don't even know that they have to use chemicals to produce food, synthetic chemicals, but they're learning that. Oh, wait. Oh, geez. Is all this happening? What's going on? And so now people are starting to get concerned more and more, and they're starting to learn about organics, because organic actually is getting put out there, you know, is very popular, and is getting a lot of press and a lot of attention. So it's causing people to look at that and try to learn about that, and now they're getting a bit of association with their food, and then they're trying to understand where the food's been coming from that they have been eating all these years. And it's for lots of people, it's very shocking when they learn, whoa, that's how our food is being produced, that's what's going on. It becomes quite an eye-opener, and then it leads lots of times into many different things. Lots of times then it leads into a little like health, like thinking about your health now, because you're thinking about, wow, all these chemicals are on the food and that's going on now. Well, do they need to do that? Well, organic says we could buy organic and they don't put those chemicals on there. You have, well, how to eat? What am I eating? Maybe I should get a little healthier. And then you keep moving through these levels of becoming more aware. And it usually starts with food. And more aware of what's going on and how things that you've never really thought about are being done. And then when you look at how things are being done and you start to study or kind of look into organic agriculture and then conventional agriculture, and then you start to hear things about GMO, and you start to learn about that, and you start to become aware of a bigger picture now. And then everybody hears about the environment now and about global warming. All these things start to link up. You know, your health of the earth, the health of the soil, because now the thing is that conventional farming with all the chemicals and the synthetics kind of ruin the soil, and that's where your food comes from. And so you have all these different concerns start arising, and then you hear about oil, and you hear about there's not going to be enough for your cars, and you hear about all the rainforest being chopped down, and then deserts are expanding, and the human population is growing, and you start to, oh, there's these impending kind of crises that are coming potentially. And whoa, and you're starting to become more aware of this other world besides just the one you may have been used to, where you go to work, you know, 40 hours a week, and then, you know, and then a little TV at night, and maybe play with the kids, and then the weekend comes, it's baseball or soccer, and then it's just this continual kind of events going on that cause a bit of distraction. But then you start to become aware of this whole world situation and become kind of concerned, and then you want to know, well, what can I do? Well, and then you learn you can make certain decisions about what you buy, what you eat, where you spend your money, what corporation you support, who you vote for, these kinds of things. And then you go, well, I want to take a, and then you may want to take, then some people move further and they want to take an even more active role. So they start to learn about gardening. Oh, I'm going to garden now. I need to grow some of our own food, because then it'll be local. It won't come from so far away. I'll know exactly what's going on it. And it'll, you know, it'll just be a good experience. And most people have never gardened before. I, myself included. I had never gardened when I was young. My parents never gardened in the sense of like growing your food and eating it. And so, and I didn't see any of that going on around me in my suburban kind of life. What about you, Paul?
Not at all. And my grandparents, who I was raised with, were from Iowa. You'd think they had some experience, but no, they left Iowa, and I think they left it all behind them. So.
Right. So there you go. I mean, and then that movement act towards like, wait, food is kind of like our right, and just like water and air, and it's like our right, and so we should be more connected to it. And it'd be more a part of our life than just what we buy at the store or at the restaurant and put in our, you know, and eat. Maybe we should like grow it and even more connected now that we're thinking about all these different things that are going on in the world. And as you do that, then you start to get exposed to the word permaculture at some point, whether it's through a friend, because now most likely you're starting to make new friends because you're concerned about new things. And if some of your old friends aren't, then you'll be going to events or to some learning about something, and maybe a meetup group or just a local garden club or something like that. Or you'll start going to the nursery. And so you'll meet somebody and you'll start to learn more and share different ideas. And then someone may tell you about permaculture. And then you find out about permaculture. And then you start to study it a bit, learn about it, read some stuff, and then you go, now I know why. You're saying to yourself, I need to start this now. And that's why permaculture is, because you start to study it, and it's a design science that looks at all the different problems that are going on in the world, and it takes them all into account, but then it directs your focus to what you can do, where you live, the place you're at, the person you are, and the abilities you have, and it helps you start to understand the different energies that are moving in nature to create a balance, and how you can be part of those energies and bring those back into your life. And that, I think, when you look at that big picture and you say why permaculture and why start it now, is because when you do find it, it starts to answer so many different questions, because it's multifaceted. You know, it's a whole, what they call a whole systems approach. It's got a lot of different systems within it to handle the whole, like the whole problem that we're facing. And that problem is, you know, possibly food shortages, oil shortages, energy problems, water problems, pollution problems. There's social problems. It makes an attempt to tackle all those problems within a design, and that design being how humans are going to live on the planet for a long time. That design challenge is, how are humans going to live on the planet for a long time? The way we're going right now, It's up in the air. There's a lot of wild things going on that could be a little disastrous. So you start to study it, and it starts to handle a lot of different problems. One, food. It starts to answer and get you to focus on the different problems, and ask yourself certain questions of honest ones about how you're living, what things are important to you right now, and how you're going to handle working new patterns into your life. I think, can you, I mean, that's an example for me, because it's when I found permaculture, I started everything started changing in my mind. I knew about all the stuff I had talked about before is what was going on. You know, my mind was making all these shifts. I was trying to change the way I bought things, the way I did things. And then permaculture comes along, and now it's so engaging, the study of it as a design scientist. It became all-encompassing and totally, I mean, how was it for you, Paul, when you found permaculture?
Well, I had never a vegetable garden, no food production prior to about 6 years ago. And so, but I had grown flowers, gardenias, roses, certain things. And it was, you know, it had a dimension of, it was a good thing. You know, I enjoyed being outside. It was a creative thing for me. But it wasn't until I found permaculture, and it was way after I started the actual food production, because I started with the trees, the fruit trees, because I knew I had to get those in the ground. And then everyone's heard my famous tomato story, which I'll spare you all tonight. But that, you know, as I started to add to my experience growing, all of a sudden this word permaculture comes in, and I, you know, started to Google about it, and I read Fukuoka's book about the One Straw Revolution, and I read Sepp Holzer, and all of a sudden on meetup.com there is this permaculture group that was not too far from where I was living, and I'm like, permaculture, this keeps popping up. And you know, I lived in this one city, and it was two cities away, this meeting. And I'm like, gosh, it's kind of far. I don't know. What should I go or not go? So I'm like, no, for some reason it's coming up. So I decided to go, and I'm telling you, it changed my life, because it was more than just gardening. It was more than just growing flowers and growing fruit. It's community. It's building an awareness, and it's working together. And like, now I can't stop thinking about permaculture. Permaculture is everywhere. Everything I do, no matter where I go, what the situation is, there's always, like, permaculture is observation, really. What's the saying, that is it Bill Mollison? They say it's a certain percentage of observation and the other part's just, you know, taking action. Because
right.
You have to learn about your environment. You have to see, you know, like, is this really, do I understand what, first of all, what I need? So what's the problem I'm trying to solve? And then what are the inputs and the different things around the things that I want to do? And then once you get those inputs, then you can make a decision, take action, and go from that. But the best part for me is, like, the rapid acceleration of learning through the communal aspect, because there's so many people coming together that normally we would not be in the same circle. In permaculture, there's no religion to separate us. There's no politics to separate us. There's no, you know, for whatever reason, I keep seeing the same people at all these different events, and it's exciting. And it's like, you look forward to seeing the people. And again, the generosity that I've seen, it's, you know, very exciting. So why start now? If you're listening to this show, for some reason permaculture has popped into your life, and maybe it's, you know, a light bulb coming on saying, hello, pay attention. And with that note, I'm going to give the call a number. We have several people in the chat room. The number is 347-838-9986. 347-838-9986. If you know, I'm asking the group, why start now? Permaculture, why start now? What has permaculture done for you? And, or let's just say you have a question. You don't even know what permaculture is, or if you want, please call in, or you can ask a question in the chat room. We'd love to hear what your take is on this. So for me, I mean, I just can't say enough about it. It's brought, I mean, I was always happy, but this has brought a whole new dimension of joy into my life. And was just great. Now, there's a lot of work ahead of us, but and it keeps, like, coming up quickly. So, like, Joey and I are, you know, involved with a nonprofit organization, and we have a friend that has another nonprofit organization, and both of the two groups are now going to start, we're getting involved with the Alta Vista Botanical Garden, which is in the city very near us, and that's in Vista, California. And we want to be part of that and help however we can. And then next week, we were invited to talk to the city of San Marcos, planning the development for the planning developer for the city. So the word's getting out, and we're being invited in to share what permaculture is about, because people have heard about it. They don't quite know what it is, but they want it. So we're here to help. We don't know how we're going to help, but we want to collaborate. We don't want to shove it down someone's throat. We want them to see it and come by attraction. And I'll tell you, at Joey's place at Tipuana Farm, it's a permaculture demonstration site. People literally drive over an hour, like from another county, to get to his events here at our farm so that they can see what's going on and listen to what Joey has to say. And they keep coming back. They keep coming back because right now we're the closest thing to them. But as we continue on, they can start holding events in their part of the town, you know, where they live. So go on, Joey.
Well, you know what I wanted to ask you was, so you're saying you were, how long had you been looking at permaculture before you saw the San Marcos permaculture?
It all happened so quickly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that it was that quick.
Joey, all that stuff I put in my house, all the terracing, and terracing is kind of part of permaculture. You know, diversity of, you know, fruit trees and all this food forest. I mean, it's my version of a food forest. I didn't know anything about permaculture at all. So prior to when you and I met at that first meeting, I had, you know, read maybe two books about it, but it had only been like a month or two.
Oh, geez.
Totally.
Wow.
I was a total newbie when I met you. I still am. But anyway, I have the influence. So what has it been? It's been, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, not even 2 years since I first heard the word. But now I can't stop thinking about it ever. I think it's because I live here on a permaculture demonstration site. Everything we do here is about permaculture. And the thing that I coined, and everyone listen now, this is the thing that I coined, permaculture fun, because I've had a good life. I've had happiness. You know, I'm a happy guy. But the part, the dimension of happiness that was kind of missing was this fun part.
Yeah.
And there's never a dull moment here. And if you know Paul Wheaton, who's a guest on my show, I could just guess there's never a dull moment where Paul Wheaton is, right?
That's for sure.
Okay.
He'll make sure there's not a dull moment.
Right. So that is, I mean, this dimension of joy. But again, it's a serious topic. I mean, it can be serious because it's whatever investment you want to make. If you just want to help yourself and your family, you go for it. That's serious. But then you could reach out and say, well, how can I help my neighbor that lives right next door? Or then you could say, well, how can I help my neighborhood and down our street? And then you could say, well, how can I help our town, our community? And then keep going and going and going and going. But I always say we're all leaders. We all have a piece of this puzzle, and we need to take action for what our skills are. So my skills are not necessarily putting in swales and running big equipment. I've never done it. I'm not your guy. But I do have other roles, like having this talk show, so that people like Joey, who have put in these huge systems and who are inspirational, this is my platform for helping permaculture.
Well, I'm excited that you have this platform and that you're helping, because you totally help keep me organized on a whole another level. I get so wildly kind of out of control, but then every now and then my Paul and my wife they rein me in and go, okay, come on now, let's get, you got to get some other stuff finished too, not just plants everywhere. You gotta finish some of these other things. And so it's so nice having everybody around to help, because, and it's amazing when you start, that's the thing why people should, when as soon as they hear permaculture, start studying it. It's this, like I said, it's the whole systems. It's a holistic design science, and there's, I don't know how many are out there design sciences that are like permaculture. They start off with the three ethics, and we've talked about this in a previous show, but, and it's really key. I mean, there aren't a lot of sciences that start out with three nice ethics that really can help when you're observing, like Paul said, when you're observing your environment all the time and you're starting to think about permaculture principles, and you start thinking about the ethics too. You know, you got earth care, people care, and fair share, return of surplus. Fair share is return of surplus. But the fair share is a good one to think about too, because you start having abundance. Like Paul said, if you just want to do this by yourself, that's cool. Start practicing by yourself. If you're doing it and you're really adhering to the principles and you're designing real well, you have so much left over. What are you going to do? Just keep it for yourself? Most people can't. They want to share it and they want to give away. And that's an amazing thing that happens when you start practicing permaculture, even gardening. Vegetable gardening really helps people want to share, because you end up with more than you can eat oftentimes. And permaculture gives you a place to put all these elements. And when you start to look at it, it's like this giant closet. And you can hang all sorts of different things in it. It doesn't matter. Computer work, that can go in the permaculture closet. Driving a machine, that can go in a permaculture closet. Building a garden, of course, that can go in a permaculture closet. There, we could go on and on, because we need everybody. And that's what permaculture is about. It's about everybody. It's about everybody included, no matter, like Paul said, no matter what religion you are, no matter what denomination, no matter what race, no matter, all the things that everybody does is breathe, eat, and sleep, these types of things. That's what permaculture is concerned about, and how to do that, how to keep us happy and healthy and comfortable in the most energy efficient way. And that comes through practice, because we've made quite a few mistakes, and so we got to just practice something new, and permaculture gives us a way to do that. Like, what were you gonna say, Paul?
Well, one thing I wanted to just throw in here: you haven't heard us say, "Okay, plant the cabbage on the third Tuesday of the month," because you can't in permaculture. We can't tell you what to do on your property, because your property is different than the property next to yours. There's not a lot of particulars we can tell you right now without actually looking at your situation. And that's where you have to get involved and learn from other people who are doing it and read the books. And, you know what I'm saying? It is a design science for sure. And there's certain principles that you can learn, you know, from books, like planting a garden and things like that, but it goes beyond that as well, because every single place that you're living, like Paul Wheaton, he's up in Montana and he loves hookah culture. And I was just talking to Alex Ojeda, who lives down in Florida, and he says the way Paul does hookah culture does not work where I live, because it's so dry. It wicks all that wood, the moisture comes out of the ends of the wood, and if it's not covered right, it doesn't work. So what he does is he digs a pit, and he puts, you know, a big ditch, and in the ditch he puts all the wood, and he builds a sunken hookah culture bed, and that works for him where he lives. So I think some people might be listening saying, well, you know, I need a particular, do this, do that. You can absolutely call in and ask those types of questions. We would love to try to help you. But really, I mean, I think like tonight we're saying it's more of a philosophical thing. It's like, why start now? It's because you're missing out on a lot of fun. That's one major reason. Another reason that it's serious, like if you start now, you're going to reap the benefits sooner than later. And you can be a leader. You can show your friends and family and your community what it's all about, and you can help other people get involved.
And you can have an experience that's very fulfilling. And sharing a very fulfilling experience is something that money can't buy. And it comes through practice, and practice of permaculture is a great way to share a fulfilling experience, because you'll definitely get it when you start practicing permaculture. And we, like Paul was saying, can't tell you exactly what to plant, where to plant these types of things, but you can when you look at permaculture design science. That's why it's so fun, is because it first takes the things that are like always happening. The sun is always rising in the east and setting in the west. I know in the northern hemisphere, the sun's always in the winter, it's in a certain place in the sky, down in the southern part of the sky. That's where permaculture starts, as a design science. It starts with the sun, because it's this giant ball of energy. Keep driving all the systems here on Earth to keep us alive. And so it looks at the sun. It starts you off just right in the beginning. And that's where you start observing. And some people have never done that before. And permaculture gives you a guide, a very simple one. You don't need to go to a college education to do that, to start studying the energy that keeps us alive, which is the sun burning in the sky there. And space, and understanding just some simple things about it. And you start to become aware of a whole new world as you start studying like that. And you're first looking at all these big kind of things and going, oh, which way does the wind blow on the place where I live? Or on the place I'm going to live? And why to start it is because you're going to start learning about the earth. And it's a fascinating thing, especially if you've never really thought about it a lot. It gives you this really nice approach, because you're going to be looking at it because you're going to be solving problems through learning about how nature works. And then you start learning about how nature works, and all these other things come in. I never really thought that... I mean, I remember when I was younger, I was just going to go live alone, kind of like as a wilderness guy, you know, or maybe out in a cabin, or definitely more rural life. And I started studying permaculture, and more I started going, you know, I want to live with people. I want to be closer to people. I want to work with them, because I didn't really think about that at all, but permaculture started to change my mind totally to that is a big piece of energy, is humans. And the only way we're going to change everything is through all of us being together. And permaculture started teaching me that. And I could say permaculture started teaching me that, but applying observation and looking at all these different energies and thinking about them. And it was like, well, this is why permaculture, because it's driving me to exploring the earth, myself, and my relationship to the other human beings. And that's pretty, in my opinion, it's quite profound to have something like that. And it's just, you study it in a book, and then you meet people, and they start sharing it. And it's very open, because people are always adding to it. you know, through their different observations. Bill Mollison, the originator, with David Holmgren, they don't realize everything. They did amazing work, and you can look at the Bill Mollison's permaculture design manual. It's super thick, and it covers all sorts of bases. It's a wonderful text. But even he says, you know, there's, as people keep doing this, it's gonna infinitely diversify and become so intricate, just like nature is, and all the different little elements that go into a forest system. That's just amazing. Just all everything that's in a desert doesn't look like there's much sometimes, but oh my gosh, there's tons of so many different things going on in the desert, as well as a forest. And that, as people get together and start studying permaculture and practicing it, it keeps building. I mean, I'm just thinking about Paul and I's relationship, how it's grown, and it's you know, it's because of permaculture we met, and now we're like best buds, and we talk about all sorts of different things, but our focus now is like we actually I have a very large hope, I myself, that we can help other human beings, as well as ourselves and our families, that we can actually change the world. There's a hope there, because we have a system, and that's why permaculture for me, you know, that this can work. And, it's a big job. I know that.
And it is working. And Joey started this local permaculture group for San Marcos. And we just had a meeting on Tuesday. We have it once a month. And on Tuesday, it's like I started to see light bulbs go off in the room. Like this one lady's like, well, I know the mayor's, you know, she's very connected into the city. And, you know, it's like, wow, she found a role. She can help. Like she's was so excited that she could, you know, there's something for her to do that's really going to help everyone else. And then it's just like a snowball. And so, yes, Joy, you are making a difference. And we're making a difference. And they, with us, are going to make a difference. And everyone listening, you're going to make a difference. But if you're just sitting here and listening, yeah, it's helping you to expand your mind. But until you actually get out of your lazy chair, your lazy boy, and talk about it with someone else, or to share an experience with someone else, to go out and look at your garden or look at your energy consumption or look at your water consumption, you know, I really think it's time. Now's the time to do it. No time like the present.
It's so true. And I just want to say, Jeff Lawton was my inspiration. I mean, that's what I was just on YouTube. And somebody sent me that Greening the Desert video, and when I saw that, I was like, "Oh, he said, this sounds great to me. Well, I want to try this. I want to learn more about this. I mean, like, this is great." And so, I started listening to more of what he would say and teach, and it was very inspiring. And I never thought I'd be where I'm at right now with a demonstration site, with getting a group going, with all of us here now living on this place in relative harmony, working towards a common goal, and having classes, and then I ended up going to Australia to study with Jeff Lawton. I mean, I never would have thought that in a million years, looking at those videos. So, you know, 6 years ago, I think.
But who told you? I said, Joey, you have to go to Australia. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
I said, you have to. He's like, what? Really? And I said, yes, Joey. So, and I think that that's what it takes. Sometimes we need to give our friends nudges to, because we see their leadership potential. And we, you know, but you're right. I mean, the things that we're accomplishing, we didn't know what was going to happen.
That could be anybody.
Yeah.
It could be anybody. I'm not anything special.
No, everybody.
I mean, I'm special, like we all are special, but I wasn't in a position that was similar to the position I'm in now. I was just like doing my own little thing, I had my wife and my kids, but I was just had my own little business, and I just had my little community by the beach that we were living in, and wasn't anything, like, there was no education going on. There was no talking to different people and meeting them and trying to understand the problems of the world and how to do positive things to you know, move forward, really. It wasn't going on. So, once the fire lights up under you, we're all so capable. It's fascinating what we're all, and the people I've met so far that weren't doing anything before, and then they've come here and started to study, just like Paul was saying in the group, when people get real excited and they're like, oh, I can do this, or I can do something to help. Oh my gosh, they just their whole face lights up and they start to have this power that they always had, but for some reason we were not utilizing it, but we have it innately, all of us do, and we start to, live. It's very uplifting and it's very inspiring, I'd have to say.
Absolutely. And it's like watching, people who garden, they know what it's like to see a seedling come up and, the potential of this little seed, and all of a sudden it peaks through the ground. You just can't wait. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, this beautiful thing comes up and it's nourishing. Well, we're beginning to see that not only in the food, in the growing, but we're seeing it in people. And I think that it's beyond, it's like Leah Strell is one of my people who's been on the show. She's an artist, a sculptor, and she says, Paul, it's going beyond my art now. She says, I'm growing new energy. And she's coming, within herself, she's finding her power. And it's through permaculture that she's finding this. And it's helping her in so many different dimensions. And I think for all of us, it's just so neat. So it's very empowering. It's very motivating. I feel like we're in this together. I'm no longer alone, sitting in my chair reading a book about gardening. Right? And that's like my past was, I had every book you can imagine about gardening. I had every book about canning vegetables and making jams and jellies. And I bought a pressure cooker 8 years before I actually made my first batch of jam. That's the truth. 8 years. Because all of the books say, if you make it wrong, you could kill someone. So I had this kind of fear. I'm like, oh no, what if I do it wrong? Well, I promise you, everyone, you can't get it wrong. If you just try, sure, it might not grow, but you had an experience. Well, it didn't grow when I did it this way, but maybe if I try a different method, it'll grow. And what's, Joy, you say it all the time, what's Jeff's famous saying about the little successes and what?
Happy little accidents and happy accidents and sad little failures. You can share that
around. Yeah, sad little failures, but happy little accidents and things. Yeah, and for me, I had to get out of that darn lazy boy chair, and I had to plant my first trees, and I had to plant the tomatoes. I had to go for it, and then I'm telling you, if you ever have an interest in making jam, you can read those books, but totally skip over the part about killing people. Jam is so easy to make. You can't, it's just like, it's hilarious. Now, try not to eat all the sugar. That's horrible. It's better to eat foods in their natural conditions, but that's up to you, But literally, it took me 8 years to go from reading about canning and actually trying it. Can you believe that? Yeah. But with permaculture, I heard the word, and Joey mentioned this video, Greening the Desert by Jeff Lawton. Go to YouTube. You must watch it. Watch any permaculture videos you can. If you go to fruittreeforest.com, that's Joey's website, there's a lot of videos there. His YouTube channel is Dirty, D-I-R-T-Y, Permie, P-E-R-M-I-E. Is that right, Joey?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Dirty Permie. Because another one of his websites is dirtypermies.com, and that refers to a permie is someone into permaculture. And Joey's a dirty permie because his best asset, like, he loves to get down and dirty. He wants to do it. He wants to do it in the dirt. And, you know, plant those trees and get those swales in. And, you know, he's not about... I mean, he talks a lot, but he makes up for it when he's not talking.
I'm starting to learn to talk and work at the same time.
Really?
Yeah, I'm trying to perfect that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll wait to see that.
Then we can really have some real permaculture fun.
Yeah. So coming up, you know, there's going to be a San Diego Permaculture Convergence in November.
Right.
I believe it's the 9th and 10th at Alden Hughes' place. Alden was on my show last night. And if you go to blogtalkradio.com/AskTallPaul, you can listen to his episode. What a great guy Alden is. And it's just everyone should listen to that episode. And then coming up in... well, let's talk about that. So that convergence is going to be limited to about 100 people. We had a bigger one, a 300 to 400 people back in, what was it?
That was last year, wasn't it in?
March? Well, anyway, early,
yeah, it
early
was.
2013, there was about 300 or 400 people at Alden's place. And a lot of it were lectures, and there were some hands-on demonstrations. But this one coming up in November is going to be hands-on demonstrations, learning about all kinds of things. Joey's going to be talking about installing food forests, and actually doing it. Right, Joey?
That's right. We're going to pre-conference. There's pre-conference workshops, too, like a month before. We're going to be siting a couple big swales that will be going in on Alden's place. It's about 7.5 acres, and so we're going to do some big water catchment, in some swales and get runoff off a big road, and help get that into the swale system. And then I think they're going to do some gray water systems at a neighbor's house right next door to his as part of the workshops, and even some ponds, little ponds.
Earthworks.
And then,
earthworks.
And then, so that'll be a month before. And then during the convergence, there'll be all those workshops going on where the tractor actually comes in during the convergence and digs the swales that we had sited the month before. And then they're going to do the ponds, I think, during the convergence, possibly. Yeah, because the machines are going to be there. And then gray water systems and I think some gardening a whole bunch of different things. They're coming up with more as time moves forward. Different little workshops, I think, like urbanite workshops where they take cement and probably earth bag workshop to do the earth bag domes.
So I know their website and the details aren't ready yet for registration. We'll let you know when we know more about it. But, you know, even if you're not from San Diego, everyone's welcome. If you have the resources, come on out and learn from our local leaders. And it's a great thing. But, you know, coming up in March is the Permaculture Voices Conference, and that's permaculturevoices.com. If you want a conference to go to, that is the one. I mean, the big, big name leaders within, cutting edge leaders within permaculture are going to be gathered and, you know, share their wisdom and their inspiration. And, you know, if you're interested in permaculture, and because not everyone has money, but some people do, and you can take that money and make it multiply. So you can come to these conferences and really learn, and then you can go back to your communities wherever you live throughout the world, because people are literally coming from all around the world to this conference. Jeff Lawton lives in Australia, and he's, you know, you can't get bigger than Jeff Lawton, I don't think. I mean, not to offend anyone else, but I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's going to – and then Alan Savory is an amazing person. And then you have – Toby Hemming, or no, is Toby Hemming?
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, jeez.
Toby wrote the book, you know, Gaia's Garden.
Right.
That is the number one seller, and I think, isn't it? With, you know,
there's
for,
I mean,
anyway.
There's a bunch of people coming that are going to, it's going to be great. If you go to that conference, you're going to walk away just super pumped to, like, go out and do something. And there's going to be each, the speakers have their own approach to permaculture as a design science, which is so cool, because you'll be able to go and it's not just going to be the same thing over and over again. Some are just so specialized in these amazing kind of regenerative practices for the land and for the environment. Everybody can get, there's something for everybody there, and that's what's going to be. I mean, there's biochar guy, New England biochar, there's what's his one name? He's back east, Ben Falk, younger permaculture guy that's really making some great changes. Mark Shepard, I think, is going to be there too. He was doing some real good like research on his farm about the practical like yields and application of permaculture as full-on farming and obtaining a yield, how the carbon is sequestered, perennial food systems instead of just a bunch of annual crops for your starches and stuff, a bunch of perennial crop systems, because you don't lose any carbon in that because it continues to grow all year. And that's something as people get more into what's going on, there's this thing called carbon sequestration, and you want to sequester that carbon back into the earth and back into plants, because we've taken so many plants away from so many areas and beat up the ground, because most of the carbon is stored in humus in that layer of soil, that beautiful little black layer of soil. Some places it's really thick, and that's where a lot of carbon. And so these farmers and Mark Shepard, they've been studying how, when you build healthy soil, how much more water you store, how much more carbon you store. You're not just getting a yield because you're growing plants and you're growing this fruit, you pick it for a food and you pick it and sell it at the market and that's your yield. No, now farming is moving into this beautiful place where you're not just, your yield isn't just fruit or vegetables. Your yield is how much water did you store in the ground because of your humus layer and your soil, the soil structure. How much carbon are you sequestering in that humus and in the tissues of all the plants that are now living and don't die at the end of each year as an annual does? They live on as a perennial. They're putting all these facets on it, how the crop is not one crop anymore. It's diversified. So if something's weak one year, but it's good for something the next year, they work off of each other. And those end up being numbers in the end, some of us are very fascinated about numbers and the science kind of thing and to prove certain results or, you know, have them be proven. So Mark Shepard and I think a young guy named Kevin they're doing this research to obtain those numbers. So that was a side tangent there, but it gets me excited to think about it.
Well, I think it's important, what you said, it's just showing there's so many different dimensions, and we're going to have the leaders in each of these different things come and, you know, share this and help get everyone else involved and excited. And, you know, it's interesting as I'm looking at the website, and Jack Spierko from the Survival Podcast, you know, for all you preppers out there, he's going to be a keynote speaker. And, you know, maybe it's a good time to come rub elbows and get some inside tips. I think that's kind of funny because, you know, you've got a lot. There's permaculture, and then there's a whole other group of these preppers and things. They need to learn about permaculture. So, anyway, if you know any preppers, let them know about the conference. So that's permaculturevoices.com, and you can register online right now. There's in the early bird registration, but that is ending very soon. Let me see if there's a date for that. I mean, it's like it might have already ended. Early bird ends August 31st.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's coming up, and that's that. All right, so what else? Taking action now. I mean, if you – come on, you guys. Do a search on Google, permaculture, and then the name of the town that you live in or the city. And hopefully somewhere near you there's somebody doing something about permaculture. Go to meetup.com. Do the same thing. Type in permaculture, sustainability, green living, you know, recycling, who knows, something like that. There's other people in your community who are interested like you are. And if there isn't, you need to be the leader. You need to step up and get it going. That's my thought.
Well, yeah.
Am I wrong? I mean, someone's got to do it, Joey.
Well, we have to, more leaders, more people having fun, more people sharing and experiencing. Because when you got to experience it. Because then you start to really want to share it because you see these amazing results or these fascinating things going on because you're learning about all these new things and it keeps being new. So I just want to say that, you know, nature doesn't get boring.
Absolutely not.
People definitely don't get boring.
Like around here, I'm telling you, it seems like you're doing the same, a lot of the same, but you're not. Because as you put in one system, it becomes more mature. Like even the composting toilets. We started with one, and now we're on the second one, and it's maturing, and we're thinking, okay, well, you know, how can we improve it? And right?
Oh, yeah, and just a real quick example. And maybe not quick because I talk a lot, but so today I'm getting ready. I'm doing one project, and then my friend Matt, who's here as a woofer, he's a friend now because we've become friends now that he's living here. He was out planting something in the new part of the food forest that we're working on. He was planting things, and I went down there to check on and see how things are going because it's kind of in zone two. If we talked about zones in one of our podcasts too, so this little forest thing's kind of out in zone two, so I don't walk down there a lot and look and see what's going on. But he was down there, so I walked down there, and the job I had that I was doing that I left to go look and see what's going on in the food forest, it wasn't really that fun. It's like doing construction. Okay, I'm nailing wood together and putting up some walls and stuff. And I went down, and so I went down to check on, see what Matt's doing, see how things are going, and then, oh my gosh, I hadn't been down there in a little bit of time. Everything's growing, and all these things are going on, and there's so many nitrogen fixers in there. I don't even know how many are in there anymore, and I'd have to count them. There's a lot of different varieties, and fruit trees, and there's figs ripening, and there's pomegranates, and we just planted the pomegranates last year, and they're already fruiting, and I mean, all sorts of things going on, and I was like, oh gosh, and I was looking at this and looking at that and seeing what didn't get killed by the frost, what did, but seeing how it's grown back, almost everything has grown back from the root, from the crown that got frozen. And then I was like, oh gosh, okay, I gotta leave. I was getting like, it was having so much fun in there that I had to rip myself out of there to go finish this other project. And that I had just been down there not that long ago, but it was so exciting that, you know.
Yeah, and I remember this time last year, especially like coming, you know, a little bit closer to September, October, his swale, the top of the swale he had, it was just so, so, so beautiful. The colors, there's purples and yellows and grays and just all these different colors of green and the butterflies, and I mean it was life, and it's literally like walking in the Garden of Eden, like paradise. That's how I think of it. And now this year, you know, we did have a severe frost last year, and a lot of those really beautiful plants didn't quite make it, but like Joey's saying, they're coming back, and it's starting to look the way it did last year at this time. It's like, wow. I mean, And again, we have all these new, Matt's really doing a lot of work to get a lot of new stuff in the ground, and it's just very exciting. I can never be bored, really, I couldn't. So,
sure.
We'll just have to have more of these episodes.
That's
Joey.
Why permaculture.
Yeah. You guys, you're bored. You're listening to us. You shouldn't be listening to us. You should be getting out there. But you know what? Like our friend Raul, who works and lives here with Joey, he listens to us while he's working all day long. He loves listening to these podcasts because it helps him. He's new to permaculture, and he laughs a lot because he knows us, and he knows when we're making fun of each other, and he probably gets more of what we're talking about than you guys. But hopefully someday you'll call in, and we'll hear you, and you maybe even show up here in San Marcos. You're all welcome. So at that, we're at the top of the hour. Any last words of wisdom, Joey?
Just
now's the time.
Well, you just try it and you'll have fun. I guarantee it.
I don't see how you couldn't. I mean, I've had so much fun, and I'm grateful for you for that, but also everyone else that's come along my path. All righty. We'll talk to you next time, everyone.
Bye.
Until then, enjoy permaculture. Bye.